Recent rains washed up the roads to Albert Villard's sheep herd outside Craig, Colorado, in the northwest corner of the state, so he's taking the day to mend some fences.
I tried to shear down on the winter country.
This is a busy time of year for Villard. In a few days, he'll start herding up his sheep, taking some to feedlots, and the others he'll shear for wool. After a couple years of drought, a handful of harsh winters, and fluctuating prices, Villard's herd is at its lowest point in a long time.
The numbers are just way down, and less sheep ranchers, just in general.
Some sheep are raised for their wool, others primarily for food. The industry's contraction has been happening since the late 1940s, on a decline of a few percentage points every year, leaving ranchers like Villard to wonder, when are we going to hit the bottom?
The industry as a whole, I think, is trying to get the numbers up, but there's so many factors as to why. I don't think you can blame any one thing.
You can't blame just one thing. The decline is the result of economic and cultural factors coming together. Take clothing, for example. If you look at your tags, pieces from your wardrobe are more likely to be blended fabrics, nylon, rayon, and polyester. As synthetic fibers have become more prevalent, you're wearing less and less wool. I'm standing here at Double J Feeders outside Ault, Colorado, which is just one of a handful of lamb feeding operations in the country. There are thousands of sheep. I mean, it's basically all I can see from standing here. The feedlot can hold up to 50,000 sheep at any given time. Here, they bulk up and are readied for slaughter. Jeff Hasbrook is the owner. He says 30 or 40 years ago, lambs played an important role in the small family farm.
Every farmer in the wintertime would buy 1,000 lambs, run them out, you know, and on the beet tops, corn, whatever, and then they'd market those lambs in the spring. Well, all of that has changed.
Hasbrook's feedlot is part of a massive co-op that markets lamb to meatpacking companies and locks in prices. But the lamb and sheep industry is still wildly volatile. Price swings are the norm. The co-op's manager, Brad Anderson, says when risk is too high, ranchers tend to bow out. Another problem that's plagued the industry is lamb's perception by the average consumer. Anderson puts the blame on the meat fed to soldiers all the way back in World War II.
Those troops were fed canned mutton, and when they came home, no more lamb, no more sheep, don't eat any of it. And that's where we saw the steady decline.
The steady decline started at the same time production of beef, chicken, and pork all got way more efficient. Lamb couldn't compete. So while cattle research has turned beef production into a well-oiled, highly profitable enterprise, Anderson says the same isn't true for lamb.
We deal with just a percentage of the budgets that other proteins have for research. And so it's very, very tough to get that kind of research and be able to get that information to the producers.
But there is hope for sheep producers. Because many operations tend to be small, the growth in farmers markets and local food has benefited sheep ranchers. National Sheep Industry Association Director Peter Orwick says there's plenty of room for growth in big cities, too.
It's ethnic communities. Every major metropolitan city in the U.S. has a large immigrant neighborhood. Where are the people coming from? Where they prefer lamb. It's their meat.
Back at Albert Villard's herding pen in northwest Colorado, he's focused on the upcoming year. Prices have risen recently. But coming off a drought, Villard says, he expects to see even more of his neighbors dropping out.
A lot of guys might liquidate because they don't want to fight it anymore. So, which from my perspective, because I need to buy more sheep, might be a good thing.
A good thing for him to build up his herd, but with fewer young ranchers joining the ranks, a bad piece of news for an industry shrinking every year. I'm Luke Runyon, Harvest Public Media.